Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos weekly class learning. I hope everyone is well and enjoying a meaningful week. So I'll just tell you how amazing this group is. I said to my husband the other week, I'm like, I don't know, there's a bunch of weeks without sponsors. This year's been going for a year and a half. If we don't have sponsors, my husband said, you'll get sponsors. Mika Amcha Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. Everybody's interesting in having a share in the Harbatzis Torah. So we actually have two sponsors this evening. The first one is sponsoring, but wants to remain totally anonymous. She is sponsoring Zchus Yeshua for a friend, as well as Zchus for Zivug Hagun Bekarov for certain individuals. And may Hashem bring the Yeshua and the Shaduchim in the merit of the Torah that we will share this evening. The second sponsor, Sandy Leader. Sandy wrote, my grandmother, who I am named after, was a very heroic and talented woman. Her yahrzeit was last Shabbos, second Kislev. She was widowed at a very young age. She raised my mother and two siblings in Hovald, where she ran a bed and breakfast to support her family. She then emigrated to America, and she lived with Sandy's parents until her patira 5 years later. She was an artist, a cook, and she sewed beautifully. Sandy says that she cherishes the pieces of artwork she has on display in her own home. Her steadfastness in raising a firm family paid off, and there are four generations of families who are shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. Sandy, I just realized you gave me the wrong date, but I don't have her name in this little bio. So if you could post it on the chat, please, that would be very helpful. In the bio, I caught there was two Kislev, not two Cheshvan, but I literally realized right now that if you could please post her name on the chat. Also, Sandy said in honor of her three bat mitzvah granddaughters, Esther Pikus, Miriam Bodenheim, and Chaya Leader, who became benot mitzvah these past few months. And the last one, Chaya, was on Sandy's grandmother's yahrzeit. So may Sarah Bas Shmuel merit an aliyah neshama and the schus of the Torah that we will share with this evening. I thank both of our sponsors very much. So I'm very excited about tonight's shir. I think, do I always say I'm very excited about shir? I'm always very excited about shir. It's not a joke, and I never get not excited. And Torah's never old, and it's never stale. Someone just told me something funny, actually. I guess, Ima, could I quote you? Yeah? Oh, that someone said to my mother-in-law, Ima, we're matching in Tichos, that someone said to my mother-in-law, I think my mother-in-law suggested she come to my class. She said, oh, either in Parshan Seminary. So it's a little humorous, and it's also a little sad. If I have no idea who it is, like literally no idea. But obviously, we make time to learn, and we don't have the attitude of Chas Hashem, oh, I learned it decades ago, so why am I learning? We always continue to learn, and there's always something new and fresh to learn. So I picked an interesting Mishnah. They're all interesting that we have not learned yet together. Let me just go to my handout that I made for you right here. Okay, could you see Pirkei Avos 5:23? Yes? Yes? Ima, you're saying yes? Okay, thank you. Pirkei Avos 5:23. Okay. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Yehuda ben Tema says, Heve az kinamar, you should be strong like a leopard, vikal kinesher, excuse me, and swift as a nesher. I don't like to translate nesher. If you do some research into nesher, you will find that it is correct translation is actually vulture and not eagle. So I'm just going to leave it as nesher. Okay? Heve az kinamer, be strong as a leopard, vakal kinesher, and swift as a nesher, light kal. Viratz kitzvi, you should run like a deer. Vigibor ka'ari, you should be as courageous as a lion. La'asos ritzon avicha shebashamayim, to do the will of your father in heaven. I will tell you before we even go to the Bartanur, the Bartanur is really interesting. Wow, I was like surprised when I saw this Bartanur. But before I go to the Bartanur, when my son was in Poland on a heritage tour after, I think, Shana Aleph in Israel, before he came in for Pesach, went on a heritage tour, it's the first one in my family to go back to my grandfather's town of Krasnik. And they stood in the destroyed shul of Krasnik, a town in Poland, my grandfather's town. And they're in the destroyed shul. There are portions of the walls still standing. And I remember, I have chosen, I tell you this, my son sent us the pictures at the time. This Mishnah was with murals, painted murals on the walls. This was the Mishnah that adorned the walls. So they had a picture of an Ari. I mean, it was hard to see. It was right like a smashed, destroyed shul, but the remnants were. And then under that, it said Gibor Ka'ari. And then a picture of a Nesher painting, okay? Kal Kanesher. And this was adorned the walls of the shul in Krashnik. And it's a reminder to all of us, and when it comes to serving the Creator, we should look at these very strong animals. We should be as strong as a leopard. We should be as swift and light as a nesher. We should run like a deer, and we should be strong like a lion to do our will of our Father in heaven. So you must see what the Bartanura says. This is like totally fascinating. Bartanura is extremely interesting. So the Bartanura says, the Bartanura goes through each of these animals that we must be like in the service of our Creator. So the Bartanura says, as kenamer, so you should be strong like a brazen. Brazen is a better word than strong, okay? You should be as brazen as a leopard. I'm going to change strong to brazen in my own notes. So this is so interesting. Follow along with me. Hanamer hazeh, this leopard, nolad min chazir hayar v'halavia. There are, I think, eight different names in Tanakh for a lion. Okay? This namer, this leopard, is born from a union or a relationship between the forest boar, B-O-A-R, the pig of the forest, and the female lioness. Because at the time when the lions come into heat, it's time to mate. Halavia machneses rosha bisivche hayar. The female lioness puts her head into the brush of the forest. Vinohemes vitovas es hazachar. She moans and she arouses the male lion. Vahachazir shomea kula. And the forest boar hears the lioness moaning in heat. Virova, that means relations, and he has relations with her. Vinamer yotze mibein shnehen. And the leopard comes from this relationship. I'm not sure today how scientifically we would understand this teaching, because today scientifically, with hidden cameras in jungles, etc., that is, I'm not trying to contradict the Bartanura. Rav Belsky Zatzal said that there's a way to understand every single Mamer Chazal. So I'm not Rav Belsky, so I can't explain how this Bartanura would make sense with what we know about science and technology and the animal kingdom today. I found it extremely interesting. So that's what the Bartanura says. So how does this teach us a lesson in our Avodas Hashem? Well, the fishuhu mamzer, the namer, the leopard's a mamzer. He's born from the forest boar who had relations with the female lioness in heat. He is therefore a mamzer who, as punim, he is very brazen. Af al pi she'ein bo gevura kokach. He doesn't actually have so much strength. Excuse me, but he's a very brazen animal. Af ata heve az, you should also be brazen. Velotit bayesh, you should not be embarrassed. For what? Lish'al me'rab chamashalo hevanta. If you learn something from your rabbi, if you learn something in Torah that you do not understand, you should always ask a question. Ka'oso sheshaninu lo habayshan lameid. Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos elsewhere, a bashful person does not learn. So you should be like this brazen leopard who comes from a cross between the forest boar and the female lioness. I just thought it was really interesting. And you should be, the lesson is that you should be brazen when it comes to Avodas Hashem. So if your rabbi teaches you a halacha, or your rabbi teaches you a dvar Torah, or you sit in a shir, you don't understand something that the rabbi says, you shouldn't be embarrassed to call back or to ask for clarification. The rabbi paskins and you're not sure you understand. Don't be embarrassed. You need to call back and you say, I didn't understand what you told me. You know, is the pot of meatballs kosher? I have to throw in the garbage. Make sure you understand. You should never be embarrassed when it comes to Avodas Hashem. The kal kinesher, you should be swift or light. I'm going to say kal. Like a nesher, la chazor achar talmudcha velo tigas. You have to make sure to chazor. You have to make sure to review your learning. You shouldn't be exhausted. You shouldn't become worn out. You shouldn't be tired. Kedichtiv ya'alu eiver kanisharim yarutzu velo yigo. You should ascend. Your limbs should ascend like a nesher. You should run and you should not be tired. So when it comes to reviewing our learning, you should never say, oh, I learned that in seminary. Why would I go to a shir when I'm 30, 40, 50, 60? What do you mean when you should go to a shir? Because when you learn learned in seminary when you're 18. It could be wonderful, but literally, seriously, you should always be chazering. There's always something more to learn when it comes to your learning. You should not become tired out from learning. You should always sit down and say, wow, I'm so excited for Shir. Whether you're the Magid Shir, I guess my guy this year, or whether you're the listener and the participant or the sponsor, you should always say, I'm excited. There's always something new. Should be swift like a nesher. Should not become tired. Viratz kitzvi, you should run like a hart. Lirdof, H-A-R-T, not H-E-A-R-T. Lirdof achar mitzvos. If you've ever seen a deer or some sort of gazelle running from the lions on the Masai Mara tundra, so in Africa, so you'll know what it means to run like a hart or to run like a gazelle. When you're literally running for your life, you're running for your life. So what should it be when you're running for mitzvos? They're dos achar mitzvos. They're running for their life to stay away from the lion. And we're running for life, seriously, to catch up with the mitzvos. So you should always have the koach to be running after the mitzvos. The gibor ka'ari, and you should be strong like a lion. Lichbosh es yitzracha min ha'averus. What does it mean to be strong like a lion? You should be kovesh your yetzer. You should conquer your inclination and make sure that you're not doing aveiro. So this is the Bar Tanura on these four animals and what they teach us about Avodat Hashem. You should be as bold as a leopard. Don't be embarrassed and ask him for clarification and review. Don't think, oh, I called the rabbi. Am I going to bother him again? If you have, not unnecessarily. If you didn't understand, so of course you should ask your rabbi again. Kal Kinesher. You should chazer after your learning. You should be swift. You shouldn't become tired out. Ratz kitzvi. You should run after the mitzvos like a hart runs across the plains when she's running for your life. When you chase after mitzvos, you're running for your life. Literally. Chayim, never mind olam hazeh. Chayo olam haba. The gibor ka'ari, just like a lion is a gibor, you have to be a gibor when it comes to your yetzer hara to conquer your yetzer hara, not to become involved in aveiro. So this is the Mishnah. That is the Bar Tanura. I begin next. No, I'll not really begin. We already began. And by quoting Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says as follows, excuse me, as be strong as a leopard to resist any attempt to lure you away from good and induce you to do evil. So what does it mean, be strong as a leopard? You must resist the attempt of your Yetzer Hara, or people who are sent by the Yetzer Hara, to attempt to lure you away from good and induce you to do evil. Kal, you should be as light as the Nesher, so that leaving all earthly impediments behind you, you may soar up to God. So what is it about the Nesher? The Nesher leaves the impediments of this world to fly and soar up in the heavens. The Ari stays in this world. The heart stays in this world. The leopard is in this world. What does the Nesher represent? The Nesher represents swift as a Nesher to leave the earthly impediments of this world, to soar up to the heights, up to God, so to speak. So spiritually, we're not leaving this world until 120 when our guf has its demise and the neshama will soar upward. But while you're in this world, you could still emulate the Nesher by spiritually soaring upwards, trying to kaviyachol reach the Almighty. Rats, be swift as a hart, run like a deer, so that you will know, ooh, what does it mean to run like a deer? You will know neither procrastination nor hesitation in manners of the performance of your duty. You will know neither procrastination, maybe some of you don't know anything about procrastination, but other people in life do. Maybe you will know neither procrastination nor hesitation in matters of the performance of your duty. If you've ever watched any sort of nature documentaries, when the gazelles realize that there is a pride of lions and they're out for the hunt, they don't think, oh, I'm really tired, so I'm going to wait 5 more minutes by the brook of water, and in 5 minutes, I'm going to get up and run away from lion. You know what's going to happen in 5 minutes? It's going to be torn to shreds by the pride of lion. There's not going to be any gazelle left. She doesn't think, I'm really going to hesitate. I'm not sure, should I run or shouldn't I run? What does she do? She picks up and she runs. There's no procrastination and there's no hesitation. That's what it means, says Rav Hirsch, to be ratz kitzvi, run like a hart, without procrastination and without hesitation when it comes to the performance of your duty in your avodas Hashem. And finally, gibor ka'ari, says Rav Hirsch, mighty as a lion, to overcome all obstacles, both within, meaning your own internal obstacles that are impediments to your avodas Hashem, that's your own personal yitzhar. And without, we meet obstacles on the path. That means external nisyonos, if you will, that want to detract from our ability to do avodas Hashem. So Rav Hirsch says, mighty as a lion to overcome all obstacles, both internal and external obstacles that stand in our path. I'm now quoting from Rabbi Beryl Wein, Pirkei Avos, Teachings for Our Times. So he talks a little bit about, interestingly, who is this Yehuda ben Tema? Okay, I want to show you something. No, I'm not going to show you. I could show you. I want to show you something interesting about this Mishnah. Bear with me, I just have to go to Pirkei Avos. This Mishnah is in Parakeh. Now, when we look through Parakeh, before I go to Rabbi Berline, I want to show you something interesting. One second, please. I'm sorry, I didn't think I was going to be showing it to you, and therefore it's not prepared on my screen, which I usually try to have. Okay, so look at the Mishnah. Wait, could you see my screen? I'm in the Mishnah Parakeh. Okay, Parakeh Mishnah Alf. Ba'asara ma'amram ros, ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. Next Mishnah, asar doros mi'adam vad noach. Next Mishnah, asar nisyonus nisnasa avram avinu. We'd spend 3 weeks on that. Next, asar nisim nasu lavasenu. Next, asar nisim nasu lavasenu b'vesa mikdash. The first one was in Mitzrayim. Asar dvarim nivru be'erv Shabbos b'nish mashos. We spoke about that also. Shiva dvarim begolam v'shiva b'chacham. Shiva mine pranus ba'an la'olam. Al shiva gufe avir. There's a pattern. The pattern is two things. One, everything's about numbers in Parakeh. If you haven't noticed, by now you should have noticed. And the other thing is that it doesn't tell you the Tana who teaches the Mishnah. Look at the pattern in Parakeh. I said it already. Basar ma'amaros nivra olam. The world was created with 10 statements or declarations. Who is the sage who taught us this? Doesn't say. There are 10 generations from Adam to Noah. It's about numbers. And the sage who teaches is nameless. 10 tests, Abram was tested. 10 miracles for our forefathers in Egypt. So that is a pattern in this Perek, that there is the Tana's not mentioned, and it's a lot about numbers. Arba midos ba'adam, arba midos b'deos, arba midos b'talmidim, arba midos b'nosei tzedakah, arba midos b'hochei lebeis medrash, arba midos b'yoshu v'nei chachamim. We get the point. The Tana's not listed, unlike the other prakim, and it's all about numbers. So that is significant to the pshat of Rabbi Beryl Wein on this Mishnah. And he teaches, first of all, before he comments on the Mishnah, he's going to teach us about the Tana. When did he live? He lived at the time of the Bar Kokhba rebellion in the second century, okay? So common era, second century in Judea. Very little is actually known about him, except that the Gemara mentions him as the master of Mishnah. So he's known as the master of Mishnah, but otherwise there's very little known about him. Very few statements of his are preserved in the Talmud, though a longer ethical message of his is found in Avos D'Rabbi Nassan. So I actually looked up Avos D'Rabbi Nassan, and I have the Sefer on this Mishnah, and there was no teachings elaborated on Avos D'Rabbi Nassan on this Mishnah. This is very interesting. Says Rabbi Wein, and it makes sense based on what I showed you. There is an opinion among the commentators that this Mishnah and the succeeding ones in this chapter, if you look, are later additions to Pirkei Avos and not part of the original Perek. Why? It's based on certain traditions and also the fact that the chapter until now, Perekei until now, has not named any authors for any of its teachings, and it was intended to follow a numeric order, which you saw. It talks about 10, talks about 7, talks about 4, talks about 3. So these final Mishnahs, Mishnahs here of the Perek, do not follow the pattern of the chapter. So some scholars think that it was added in later because it tells you the Tana, and furthermore, it doesn't have to do per se with numbers. However, the words of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamir have been treasured throughout the Jewish experience. The Mishnah, and I was smiling when I read this because the first thing I thought of when I sat down to prepare this Mishnah is the pictures from the shul in Krasnik that my son sent us when he was in my grandfather's shul. This Mishnah, adorned by figures of the leopard, the eagle, the deer, and the lion, I'm quoting from Rabbi Wein because he's also known to be a major Jewish historian in Jewish history. And he writes, "This Mishnah, adorned with the images of these animals, has decorated many Jewish synagogue walls in all countries of the Jewish exile." That's exactly what my son saw in the shul in Krasnik. The traits enumerated here have validity. And I was also smiling when I read his next sentence because it relates exactly to Shir of last week. The traits enumerated here have validity only if they are employed to do the will of our Father in heaven. Remember last week we learned that traits, noi, koa, chachma, traits are wonderful if they're in the hands of the right person, and they're deadly in the hands of the wrong person. Remember the humorous vignette about Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky when he was 8 years old and he blew shofar. So tzkiya shofar is wonderful. In the hands of an 8-year-old, it's not a mitzvah at all. And nobody was yotze. The traits enumerated here, says Rabbi Beryl Wein, Shlita, have validity only if they're employed to do the will of the Creator. So think about that. If you're brazen alone, it's not good. It's only laso ritzon avicha shabashamayim if you're brazen, it's good. If you're kal, kalus rush is a terrible thing. If you're kal kanesher laso ritzon avicha shabashamayim, it's a praiseworthy trait. If you have the midah of kalus rush, it's not positive. We got to work on tikkun midos. If you run to do averus, heim ratzim v'anu ratzim. Hey, ratzim lebate karanos, va'anun ratzim lebate midrasho. So if you run to the street corners, liyoshve karanos. If you run to the street corner, so it's not good. If you run to the base medrash, it is good. So like last week's mishmar, noi, koa, chachma, those seven traits we learned, they're good, they're positive, they're complementary in the hands of the right person, and they're dangerous in the hands of the wrong person. And furthermore, says Baruch Ba'er Olam, you learn the same thing here, gibor kari. It's great to be a gibor if you use it for positive, if you use it to destroy other people and destroy the world. So that person's not a gibor. Shem Shemayim. Otherwise, in personal behavior and relationships with other human beings, these traits, unyielding boldness and arrogance, swiftness and lightness, strength of body and spirit, the ability to run and flee, they may not be positive traits in the hands of the wrong person. And it reminds you, last week and this week, any koach in the world can be used l'tova, for mitzvos, for Torah, for avodas Hashem. It can be used, adarabah, the opposite way, for avera, for self-centeredness and servicing the Yetzer Hara. So God gives us certain traits and kochos. We all have the ability to run. The question is, I don't mean if someone physically can run. They still have the ability metaphysically to run. You can choose to run to the street corner, Leoshve Karanos, or you could choose to run to the base medrash. You could choose to be Ace Panim the Gehenim. On the other hand, as kenamerla, so ritzon avicha shabashamayim is positive. So that means it's a big lesson. We have kochos, we have personality traits. We all have our unique, to quote Rabbi Zev Lev, talents, abilities, and capabilities. But the kash is, how do we use them? Balance, says Rabbi Berowine, balance in all traits and behaviors. The principle of Judaism discussed in the course of this commentary, meaning his commentary, applies here as well. A person needs to know how to channel and how to utilize the kochos, the midos, the personality traits that God has given him. For a holy purpose, these characteristics are admirable and necessary. In ordinary human life, however, they can lead to discord, dishonesty, and even violence. One must always check, therefore, if his holy pursuits are truly being pursued for the purpose of holiness. What I'm really doing, is this really l'shem shemayim? Is this az kenamer, or is it az panim l'gehenim? Is it kal kenasher, and I'm swift to soar beyond the confines of gashmius in this world? Or is it kalus rosh, and a moshav leitzim? One's l'shem shemayim has to truly be, says Rabbi Berowine, l'shem shamayim. So sometimes we want to delude ourselves and everyone around us and the Ribbono Shel, it's really l'shem shamayim, or really we might know it's not l'shem shamayim. So the kasha is, how do we use these traits like this brazenness? And the right person utilized the right way, it's wonderful. And the wrong person utilized the wrong way, it's dangerous. So I just finished reading this book. I loved it. I just finished reading it of Rav Gustman. I quoted from it in a number of vignettes, a number of classes. I actually wanted to quote from him this morning, shir related to Ahav, and I just simply didn't have time in the shir. Rav Gustman was the youngest dying on Rav Chaim Oizer Grzinski's Beis Din in Vilna. It's really an amazing, in the beginning of the week, I'll quote a story about his meyerka and shoes and shmeres halasha and nicha baveb. He was just an amazing hidden gadol, if you will, of the last generation. So I'm going to talk about this mishnah in light of utilizing these traits for the good. Should be a gibor ka'ari, so it's on a vicha shabashamayim, strong like a lion. Should be swift, as brazen as a leopard. You should be as light as an eagle and as swift as a deer. And when you use these traits properly, it's avodas Hashem. So he survived the Holocaust, his son was killed, he then moved to America, and then ultimately to Eretz Yisrael. When the Rosh Hashiva arrived in Yerushalayim from Brooklyn, with the purpose of establishing Yeshivas Netzach Yisrael, he left behind many in Brooklyn who were dependent on his guidance. They sought his halachic rulings and his counsel, and he knew they would need a way to reach him. So he had a more mundane problem. He needed a telephone. He called the number of the telephone company, which was then under the auspices of the Israeli Ministry of Communication, and in fluent Ivrit, he spoke to the operator. Shalom, said the Rosh Hashiva. I'm calling to order telephone service. Shalom, name and address, please. Rav Gusman gives his name and address. Thank you, sir. Someone will be in touch with you when the service is ready to be installed. How long will that be? We have a long waiting list, a year. I need a telephone installed today, he said. Today? I'm sorry, sir. This is impossible. At that time, the average wait time for a new telephone line was approximately 1 year. Madam, said the Rosh Hashiva with dignity, do you know who I am? This is Eiz, not Eiz Panim the Gehenim, but Eiz Kenamer. You sometimes need to have that boldness. Sometimes you need the chutzpah when it's a shame shemayim. No, sir, said the operator. I am a general, madam. My name is Aluf Gusman in the Torah and Perek Lamed Vav of Bereshis, when it describes the chieftains of the family of Esav, it's aluf this and aluf that. I am aluf. I just thought of something. Aluf is the same source as aleph, because maybe a chieftain or a general is in charge of thousands. Cool. You know, I love Sharashim and Lashon Kosh, right? I never really thought of that. Aleph Lamed pays aluf, a chieftain or a tribal leader, and aleph is a thousand. Okay, also Aleph, because he's the head. Very nice, Essie. He's the one. He's the first. I am the first guy, just like Aleph is the first letter. The buck stops here. I'm in charge. I'm the chieftain, Aluf, and I'm in charge of Alafim, thousands. Okay, go back to the story. Madam, said the Rosh Hashiva of Gusman Zatzal, do you know who I am? No, sir, she said. I'm a general. This is Aluf Gusman. And madam, I'm expecting urgent calls from overseas. I need a telephone to be installed immediately. I need it done. Sir, let me pass you to my supervisor. The supervisor came in the line. How can I help you? This is Aluf Gusman. I have a unit of troops. I have a mission. I need a telephone installed today. Aluf Gusman? I never heard of you, he said. Listen to me, sir, said the Rosh Hashiva. I am a general with soldiers for whom I am responsible, who I command. I have a mission to carry out. I am expecting urgent calls from abroad. I need a telephone to be installed regardless of whether you have heard of me or not. This is urgent. By the next day, he had the telephone installed. I'm skipping a little, but no, I'm not really skipping. 3 years later, he found himself sitting before the recently appointed Minister of Defense, Shimon Peres, in the newly formed Rabin government after the Yom Kippur War. This time, the Rosh Hashiva had his telephone, but he needed military exemption for his students. I need military exemption for my students, Mr. Minister, says Rav Gusman to Shimon Peres. I wish I could help you, Rabbi, said the Minister of Defense, but only certain yeshivot are entitled to exemptions. Yours is not one of them. Mr. Minister, said Rabbi Gusman, allow me to explain. I am coming to you as a general and commander. I have my own unit, my own soldiers. I have troops who I command, for who I am responsible. I have a mission to carry out. Now, you may think as a general, I am less important than the IDF generals with whom you deal with. But my mission is every bit as critical to the security and peace of Eretz Yisrael as those other generals. Those other generals succeed by the virtue of the power of Torah that my soldiers learn. That what keeps us safe and strong. And Mr. Minister, I need exemption so my soldiers can continue to do their job. Rav Gusman received his exemptions from Yeshivas Netzach Yisrael. So I just finished the biography, so the stories are on my mind, but it's a beautiful illustration and example of this very idea that we're teaching, when and learning and studying, that when these kochos are used for positive, so it could be az panim, either l'gahanim, or l'gan eden, so to speak. Az kanamer, if you're bold as a leopard, laso ritzon avicha shava shamayim, then it is very, very positive. I'm now quoting from Mr. Irving Bunim, zichron al-vracha. He was the right-hand man of Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal. I also read his biography last year, 2 years ago, A Fire in His Soul, highly recommend. So in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Mr. Irving Bunim, I'm only going to quote his pshat on Kal Kinesher, okay? Be light as a nesher. Other birds may well think, I'm quoting Mr. Irving Bunim, may well think something is radically wrong with the eagle because it flies so high. It may seem foolish, impractical, or even exhibitionist. Exhibitionistic, like it's trying to show off. Similarly, when someone staunchly presents and upholds the viewpoint of Torah before others, he may find himself of being accused as a flighty idealist, an impractical dreamer soaring in the clouds. Do not be dismayed if others mock you for soaring in the clouds with your ruchnias. Be light as an eagle to do the will of your father. Are you really so religious? You really don't talk Lashana? You really don't get coffee from that coffee shop? You really won't come to the beach with me on the summer day when everyone's in a bikini? You're so religious! Don't think about it. Don't listen to them. You are doing Laso Ritzon Avicha Shabashamayim. You must be Kal Kanesher. Don't think about what they're saying. Just like the eagle soars above all without worrying about what other people think of it, so to speak. Furthermore, and this is very interesting, the next part that Mr. Irving Bunin writes, because I've seen this brought down also in Rav Meilech, Rav Elimelech Biderman writes similarly. An eagle's body is naturally heavier than air. An eagle is a big bird. It's not a sparrow. It's not a robin, which is bigger than a sparrow. It's a big, heavy bird. It should remain on the ground, like an ostrich is such a big bird. An ostrich can't fly. With its powerful wings, the bird can lift itself and carry additional weight. If you've ever seen, there's all different kinds of eagles. There are eagles that catch salmon. There are eagles, harpy eagles, that carry monkeys. It's oh my gosh, it's the most unbelievable thing. Monkeys, they'll go to a nest of certain monkeys, harpy eagles, and they'll carry a monkey. So not only can it lift itself off the ground, it can carry very heavy weight. Similarly, a man's body remains naturally on earth. What does that mean? We have appetites, we have cravings, we cling to earthly things and material acquisitions and physical satisfaction, just like an eagle naturally should remain on this earth. However, our spiritual self yearns to go higher, to find divinity. So the Jew must be like the eagle, the Nesher, through Torah, through chesed, through mitzvos, our spirit can soar to the highest heights, even though there's so much physicality that should be dragging us down. This whole world is a gashmistic world, like the Kal Kanesher. It's almost an oxymoron. Is a Nesher Kal? A Nesher is not Kal. A Nesher is Kaved. But no, it's able to lift itself out of the Ruch Gashmius bonds to soar to the highest heights. That, of course, is an imshal for us. We live in a very Gashmistic world. We must soar out of those bonds to the highest heights. I'm skipping. I just have to take this off. I now want to go to why I chose this Mishnah. It's very cool. Okay, that's funny. So someone just posted this reminds her of the ladder in Yaakov's dream. You know why that's funny? Because you remember I just said, now I want to say why I chose this Mishnah. So I'm going to Perachav Chesed Bereishis with you. Okay? So let's go to Perachav Chesed Bereishis together. And Perachav Chesed Bereishis, which I'm putting on my screen for you, it's the beginning of this week's Parsha. Yaakov has a famous dream. Begins in Perachav Ches, Pasuk Yud. Could you see that it says, Vayetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana? Yes, thank you. Yaakov departs from Be'er Sheva and he goes to Haran and he encounters a place and he sleeps there because the sun had set. He takes from the Sudavitz Maruf, he takes from the stones of the place, he puts it under his head. He has a dream. And behold, there was a ladder reaching, standing on the ground, and its head is reaching to the Shemayim. So Esti just said, our teaching reminds her of this dream. In other words, we're grounded down here. Sulam Mutzav Arza, Averosho Magiha Shemayimah. Our head should always be in the heavens. Vihine, and behold, there are angels of God going up and going down. And Hashem is standing upon him, and he says, I am Hashem, the God of your father, Abraham, your father. This is the first divine revelation to Yaakov. Hashem has not spoken to Yaakov Avinu yet. The God of Yitzchak, the land upon which you are laying, I will give to you and your children. Your children will be like the dust of the earth. They will burst forth to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. All the families of the earth will be blessed for you. I'll be with you. I will guard you everywhere you go. I'll return you. Let's look at this pasuk. Perachav Ches, pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov wakes up from his dream. He thought he's in Luz. He left Be'er Sheva, he's going to Haran, and he's someplace called Luz, Lamed Vav Zayin. And that's it. He's somewhere in the south of Eretz Yisrael on his way to Chutz Arts. That's why Malachi Elkim, Olim V'yardim Bo. The Malachi Eretz Yisrael going up, and the Malachi Chutz Arts are coming down to be Malavahim. And he doesn't know. He can't imagine where he is. He thought he's just in the forest. And he wakes up from his dream and he says, oh my God, Hashem, you're in this place and I didn't even know. And he's very afraid and he says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway to heaven. And Yaakov wakes up early in the morning and he takes the stone that he had made as a pillar and he pours oil on it. So let's look at these two psukim, his reaction. Vayikatz Yaakov mishneso, he wakes up from his dream, vayom, and he says, Achin, yesh Hashem b'makam hazeva nochi lo yadati, I can't believe it, Hashem is in this place and I didn't even know. And he's afraid and he says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the gateway to heaven, and this is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gateway to heaven. I'm now going, I prepared it on my handout, but it's... Oh, actually, you know what? I'm just going to go back to my handout. Why am I bringing this up in context of our shir? So if we go back to our handout, there's that pasuk, Vayikatz Yaakov mishnaso, vayomer achein ish Hashem v'makom hazeva nochi lo yodati. For a moment, we have to go to the pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk in Yechezkel had unbelievable divine revelations. He saw like the essence of heaven. Unbelievable divine revelations Yechezkel had from Bavel. And he saw some image of the Kisei HaKavod, some image of the Seraphim around God, we don't exactly understand. But there are four beasts or images that hold up the Kisei HaKavod. This is Yechezkel Perek Yud, Pasuk Yudalet. Pnei HaAchad, Pnei HaKruv, the face of one being that holds up God's throne of glory in Shemayim, is the face of a kruv, a cherub. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. It goes on top of the Aron Kodesh in the Mishkan. Upnei hasheni pnei adam. And the second leg is upheld by the face of a man. And the third one is upheld by the face of an aryeh, a lion. And the second one is held up by the face of a nesher. So Yechezkel sees this image of the throne of glory. And he sees these four beings that mamish hold up the Kisei HaKavod. What are they? The kruv, the cherub, a face of a person, an aryeh, and a nesher. Now let's go back to our pasuk when Yaakov wakes up from his dream. Vayikatz Yaakov mishneso, so he's so startled. He didn't realize God is here. He thought he's just running away and he's in the wilderness. Vayom, and he says, Achein. Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeva anochi lo yadati. Look at Achin. Aleph Chaf Nun. Yaakov said, Achin, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeva. I knew that Hashem is upheld by the Aryeh, the Kruv, and the Nesher. Those glorious, majestic animals, the Aryeh, Gibor Ka'aryeh, the Kruv, which adorns the top of the Mishkan and guards the entranceway to Gan Eden, and the Nesher, the mightiest of birds. I knew that those majestic animals hold up the throne of glory. Achein, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, Achein is Rosh Tevos for Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher. The Anochi, Oyadati, my face, the face of Yaakov Avinu, is also on the throne of glory. I also hold up the Kisei HaKavod. Mortal man, his ability to rise to the highest heights through his Ma'asim Tovim, through his Torah and his mitzvos, I can hold up the name of God in this world. Anochi is also an acronym. Ve'anochi, and also the Aryeh, the Nasher, the Kruv, and the Yud. Yaakov. Yaakov had an image, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, and he saw the angels just like Yechezkel, and he saw God just like Yechezkel, and he must have seen somehow the Kisei HaKavod, and he thought it's only upheld by these majestic beings, the Achein, the Aryeh, the Kruv, and the Nesher, because what's lowly man? Ma enosh ki tizkerenu uven adam ki tifkedenu. What is man that you remember him? What is the son of man that you give him an important tafkid? We're nothing. I've been stargazing the whole week. You could see three planets lined up. Tonight it was cloudy, so I couldn't spend time outside. You could see, I told my father-in-law 2 nights ago, Ima, did you go outside with Abba? He said, you have to go look. He said, I'm in Brooklyn, I can't see. I said, Abba, it's not because you're in Brooklyn. Go to the school where there's a better view of the horizon. You must see the planets. You could see from the southeast sky to the southwest sky, Jupiter, Saturn, the moon, and Venus. And Venus and Jupiter are so bright. You can't imagine. I stand there and I look to myself and I think to myself, what's one person in the great expanse of the universe, which stretches to infinity? What's one person before God? One person is almost nothing. I'm a speck. There are billions of creatures on this planet. And there's a universe that goes to infinity. And there were millions who came before me. And who knows what's out there past the constellations of our Milky Way galaxy? What's one person? I can hold up the throne of God. The Aryeh, the Kruv, the Nesher, they're Ovdei Hashem. Me, the Anochi, Aleph of Anochi, Aryeh, Nun of Anochi, Nesher, Chaf of Anochi, Kruv, Yod of Anochi. Me, Yaakov, I can hold up the throne of glory. Lo Yadati, this I did not know. Vayomer Manora Hamakom Hazeh, Vayira. Was afraid. Vayomer manora hamakom hazeh. Ein zeh ki im beis elokim v'zeh shar shemayim. Wherever you are, wherever a Jew is, wherever he holds up the throne of glory, wherever he is osek in Torah mitzvos, his image, Yaakov's image, is on the throne of glory, just like the Ari, the Kruv, and the Nesher. And we are all the Bnei Yaakov. And we're all the Bnei Yisrael. And just like Yechezkel saw the Pnei Kruv, the Pnei Aryeh, and the Pnei Nesher, he saw Pnei Adam. Which Pnei Adam? The Pnei Adam, Sai Chazal of Yaakov Avinu. So why did I choose this? This is not my own word. By the way, you shouldn't think Michal to make this up. This is from the Sefer Rest for the Dove by Rabbi Chaim Sabato. This is not my own insight. Because every single Parashas Vayetze, I think of this insight when I read these psukim. And it's so moving, and it's so empowering, and it's so powerful. Because as little of a speck as we are, when you look out into the cosmos and you realize what's one person vis-a-vis the billions of creatures that God sustains and creates. On the one hand, Anochi Afer Ve'efer. Stand, look at the four planets and you'll realize Anochi Afer Ve'efer. And on the other hand, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Because Anochi, yes, even you, the Bnei Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael, the Bnos Yisrael, even you, your face is engraved on the throne of glory. Even you can hold up the image of God in this world. Manora Hamakom Hazeh, he said. How awesome is this place? What place? The place where a Jew upholds the image of the Ribon Hashem through his actions, through his Maisim Tovim. Ein Zeh Kim Beisel Kim Vizeh Shar Shemai. So why did I choose it? Because the Achein stands for Aryeh Kruv Nesher. And what does this Mishnah tell us? Hevi az kal kin Nesher, gibor ka'ari. Two of the images that make up the Achein and the legs of the Kisei HaKavod, we are advised by Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema to emulate them in our service of God. I'm just going to end with a vignette from Henny Machlis. You know when the shiur started, it was really supposed to be 30 minutes. Remember Miriam Goodman? I hope everyone forgives me. You want me to go back to 30 minutes? It's a long... I could. I'm not saying facetiously. I always have so much. Okay. Lamaisa, if it ever is 30 or 35 minutes, there's a precedent. I don't really know if there is, but... Says Henny, a certain rabbi loved every Jew very much. He once went to speak in the Diamond District in Tel Aviv. The first question they asked him was, why do you usually hang out with low-class people? And the rabbi said, when you find a diamond and it's dirty, do you throw it out? No, they said, we polish it. So I do the same. Every Jew is even more precious than a diamond, says Henny. Well, I may bring that to you because you might think, oh, it's very nice that the Aryeh Kruv of Nesher and Yaakov are on the Kisei HaKavod. And it's very nice, Micha Arish gave a great shiur, maybe. And she says, I'm on the Kisei HaKavod. But how do I really know I'm on the Kisei HaKavod? Because if you're from the children of Yaakov / Yisrael, and if you're part of Am Yisrael, you're a diamond. And every Jew is a diamond. Some of us need more polishing than others. It's a lifelong process, but it's your face on the Kisei HaKavod. Va'anochi lo yadati. Va'yira. That's why he was afraid. I, a mortal, one speck, when I look at the cosmos, I hold up the Kisei HaKavod? Yes. Every Jew, says Henny, is even more precious than a diamond. Everybody's important, says Henny. Everyone is special. We really have to work harder to love every Jew like ourselves and to see their uniqueness. See their image that's holding up God's throne of glory, their specialness. We don't know who anybody is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to focus on the good, the uniqueness, and the specialness of every person. One of my favorite words on Vayetze. I think it's empowering and powerful. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema tells us, you should be Az Kanamar, fascinating Bar Tanura that we started with. Okay, I'm finishing in a minute. You should be Az Kanamar, Ratz Kitzvi, Gibar Ka'ari, V'Kal Kanesher, Make sure you use the traits of the Tova, la'asot ritzon avicha shebashamayim. And yes, the Aryeh, the crew of the Nesher, are on the Kisei HaKavod. But so are you, because every Jew is a diamond. So I thank our anonymous sponsor very much, and may all of Klal Yisrael, may Yeshuas and Shaduchim in the right time with the right one. May the Nisham of Sar Bashmuel marry an Aliyah on the Schus of the Torah that we shared, and Mazel Tov to you, Sandy Leader and family, on the Bate Mitzvah of your three granddaughters. Kanaina, I thank you so much, everybody. And Be'ezot Hashem, we will continue our learning next week. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you. Kol Tov. Thank you.